you see this hack about the color tags on bread when you go to the grocery store?
I did see something about that. But, you know, here's the thing is I'm pretty convinced I'm only going to remember the first couple. And then I can't remember all the initials, right? So it's mm-hmm. it's blue is for it was baked on
Monday.
Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. Green is Wednesday.
Tuesday.
See? Yeah. I'm already screwing up.
So I guess according to Reader's Digest, which we have discussed earlier this week, is basically like the Bible for mini magazines and really perfect for bathroom reading. They have written this article about how to know how old your bread is when you go to the grocery store, because all the bakeries, well, a majority of them, they say, use the same thing.
Hmm.
Most bakeries have Wednesdays and Sundays off. Weird, right?
Who knew?
Right. So there are only five colors, and that says what day the bread was baked on. Blue is Monday, green is Tuesday, red is Wednesday, white is Friday, and yellow is Saturday.
Okay.
So here's the question. I'm one of those people that when I go to the grocery store, if there is something with an expiration date, I will go through every single one.
To find the one that has the furthest off date?
Yep.
Yeah, so does my wife. But mm-hmm. it really makes no difference if you're going to eat it in the next 3-4 days.
I don't know what it is, but something about it, like knowing that there is something old mixed in with something that's newer, like it becomes like a priority. And I actually had a heart attack because Hayden, I had sent her to get milk, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had passed the milk. I forgot the milk. I sent her back to go get it, my 12-year-old. And she came back with what I go, well, did you check all the dates on all the milk? And she looked at me as if I was insane.
Right. No, she's like, no, I grabbed the milk from mm-hmm. the shelf, the first one.
And it's the organic milk. So keep in mind, it's like the expiration date is like 6 months off anyway.
Yeah, yeah, they're forever. Right.
And she was like, no. And then I made her go back. And she thought I had lost my mind. But I've become obsessed with it. I actually cracked the code at my local grocery that if they put two marks on the two marker marks, it's 2 days old. If it's three marker marks, it's 3 days old. And then they get rid of them. So I'm constantly going through all of them looking for the ones that only have zero marks or one mark.
So wait a minute. This is an additional mark on the bread?
Yeah.
So it's there's on the tag and this now.
Yeah. One of my friends tipped me off to it, and now I'm like a grocery store sleuth.
I mean, you're going to take 20 minutes there to select your bread. You're going to need some sort of slide scale, right? What is one of those old calculators that mm-hmm. they do?
Yeah.
Where you move things over or some sort of, you know, crazy graphic up there while you do it. Or you could just grab the bread.
And
move
it.
On with your life.
Right. No, I didn't say it made sense. I just said that's what I do.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's Report Card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband. Alicia, before we start, how was girls' weekend?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So much fun. Yeah. You know, I can't tell you much because what happens at girls' weekend stays at girls' weekend.
I understand. I get it. And Raven is going away this weekend for man camping. Did you guys purposely do that where it's like your girls' weekend followed by the man weekend? Well, I should say
no.
The women's weekend followed by the boys' weekend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what you should say.
Oh, no. We hardly act like women on girls' weekend. So, no, we didn't plan it that way. It's actually been a lot, you know, coming home from vacation. I was home for 3 days, left again, and now home for 5 days, and he's leaving. It's a lot. The dogs are not happy.
Isn't it weird how they know? Lila, my puppy, the minute she sees the suitcases come out, she's already a very nervous dog. She's a fearful dog. But it's like she goes into panic mode. Mm-hmm. It's really strange they pick up on that so quickly.
Yeah, no, our little one, especially, he gets really depressed. And then the bigger one, Barkley, he just gets mad.
Mm.
Right, he goes through the emotions of grieving, mm-hmm. then he's angry, then, you know, right.
They don't even have to see the suitcase at this point. They could be downstairs and they hear the wheels roll across the bedroom floor,
right.
And they know it's the suitcase. It's
right.
That.
Yeah.
Right.
It's nuts that they can do that. Are you concerned at all about Raven's man weekend? Because I am.
I'm always concerned. You know, I think it's because we're moms, Anna. Like, mm-hmm. You know, they have this motorbike they bring out there. I'm like, nobody's going to wear a helmet. You know, you probably shouldn't be driving that after, you know, what you might be impaired.
We got in trouble for the mini bike last year. We got in trouble for the mini bike. I don't think we're bringing it this
Good.
Year. They told us we're not allowed.
I mean, I worry about them even walking in the woods, never mind the bike.
Well,
so.
Right. Because, like, here's what they do. It's like none of them are actual, like, camping men. So it's basically like they tried to make it as, like, they should just go to a hotel. Like, if you want if you want a projection screen, a generator, a bed, then why are you going to the woods? Go to a hotel where you're safe and have a roof over your head and no animals will eat you when you pass out from too much whiskey.
If we all went to a hotel together, our wives would follow us. Mm. That's why we must go into the woods.
Oh.
We must go into the woods.
Must go into the woods.
We have to.
You think we want to follow you guys? You're crazy.
Right. Alicia is lining up all her friends right now to follow you right into the woods.
No, but if we were going to a hotel, they'd follow us.
Yep.
No. No, that room will smell. No, thank you. Yeah, but I get why they have to go. They can't go to a hotel because us girls, we can't go to a hotel either. We have to rent an apartment where there's no neighbors because we would most definitely get kicked out of a hotel.
See?
So,
people get rowdy. They get loud. You know, if you really got to let loose, Anna, you got to be somewhere where there's no witnesses.
Oh my gosh. No, I want a hotel. I want a nice hotel.
Yeah.
So for the few days you have been home, how's Raven been behaving?
Oh, he's been good. You know, just more busy days, Anna. It's that time of year. So we're just, you know, kind of passing each other, high five and see you when you get back from camping. It's crazy here. So he's been good. He hasn't broke anything. The dogs are alive. So,
well, I feel like he's always on his best behavior before he has to go away because he doesn't want anything to, like, take away from his man camping.
I have to find my zen.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, I don't like walking the dogs in the dark and all that. So I have my son coming to stay here this weekend. So I'm not alone.
Aw, I love being alone. It's my favorite thing. What kind of grade would you like to give Raven for the week?
I'm going to give him an A, Anna.
Nice. I feel like my life has been consumed with my plantar wart on my foot for the last, I don't know, since June. So it's been a few months now.
It has been a while that you've been dealing with that. You're still in pain?
Yeah, I have to go every 3 weeks. It's definitely better now as I, you know, as the treatments progress.
For like a month, you were limping.
Oh, it's awful.
Dragging that leg like a club foot behind you.
It hurts so much. And it makes me giggle because what hurts too much for what it is? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999 because it's a wart. Like, it sounds so gross, but, like, it's not a big deal. But the amount of pain that it's caused me has been excruciatory. And then Hayden, my 12-year-old, I brought her with me yesterday to the doctor's office for my treatment.
Yes.
And this is what happened. Hayden, what did mommy sound like today at the podiatrist?
You sound like a pterodactyl.
Because it hurt. It hurt a lot.
You were fun to make fun of.
What did I sound like?
A pterodactyl. Ah!
Is that what pterodactyls sound like? Do we even know?
We don't know.
We don't know for sure.
Nobody was alive. And then there's pterodactyl. And I think.
No, but because the P is silent. That's what I said.
I think the P is silent. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I sounded like, though. Either way.
Well, I don't doubt it. I mean, it's really painful when you get something done on your feet.
Well, I learned, and the doctor made me feel better because he says you have 10,000 nerve endings in your feet.
Yeah.
So whenever, like, there's something at the bottom of your feet, that's why it hurts so much.
It still makes you feel better,
even though they're
you know, using a scalpel to remove something at the bottom of your foot?
Let's not go into detail. It's terrible.
Doesn't feel good, I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah. What's a minor thing that just hurts too much for what it is?
I mean, you must hear me cry at least 3 times a week here because of where they put this computer over by my knee every time I hit my. So when I was younger, man, I could do anything with these knees, right? I could fall off a motorcycle. I would do dance and I would, you know, jump down. I'd do one of them MC Hammer splits and all that stuff. I was fine in the knee.
Mm-hmm.
Now I turn my chair at the wrong angle and I catch this computer right here. And I can't walk.
Yeah.
And for 30 seconds, I can barely breathe.
Yeah, no, bumping your knee is a big problem.
Oh, it hurts so bad. I feel it throughout my whole leg.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What hurts too much for what it is?
Oh, my God. When you get an eyelash stuck to your eyeball, like, it isn't, it's so painful. And you just, like, have to stop doing whatever you're doing and, like, it's so crazy because, like, your eyelashes are by your eyeballs all the time. But as soon as it gets inside, it's, like, everything stops, like trauma, like you're crying in the middle of like this public place you're in.
Do you know the trick? Do you know the trick, Raven?
No.
Do you know how to get an eyelash
like,
out of
look
eye?
Away and blow or something? I don't know. My eyes are always screwed up. You know that.
Yeah, you have weird eyes. You have the wonky eyes.
I have wonky eyes. As my doctor described them, some people just have crappy eyes.
Yeah. So what you do when you have an eyelash in your eye to get the eyelash out is you close your eye really, really tight. And then you take your finger and you push into your eyeball socket as hard as you can. I'm telling you this works.
No, I don't think that's good.
This 100% works.
No.
And you push down into your eyeball socket for 10 seconds and you count to 10. And then you blink rapidly and it comes right out.
That sounds insane.
Telling you it works. No, it 100% works.
I can't do that. It freaked me out to press down on my eyeball.
You just have to press down. You never
press on your eyeball like right now. Let me see you press on your eyeball.
I'm going to get
You're pressing down?
Yeah.
No, that's not good.
Look, it's gone. If I had an eyelash,
had nothing,
it'd be gone.
There was nothing in there
but
before.
If I had one, it would be gone. Thank
and now
you
look
for
at you,
call.
Rubbing your face and your eye.
Yeah, but I got it out. What hurts too much for what it is? 1-800-330-9999. Checking our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. Paper cuts. Why do paper cuts hurt so much?
I don't know. But if you get some lemon on there, too, on top of it, oh, forget it. In the era of hand sanitizer, paper cuts are here with a vengeance.
Yeah. Sleeping on your neck the wrong way. I always feel like I need to go to the doctor.
Right. Is it a tumor?
Right.
What's going on? Right.
I broke my neck last night when I was sleeping.
Yeah, no.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What hurts too much for what it actually is?
Stubbing your toe. Like, I have no idea why there's so many freaking pain receptors in my toe. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. I walk on it every single day. And no matter how many times it happens, it hurts way too much for what it is. It's ridiculous. Like, you literally want to die when it happens. It's awful.
It's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Sometimes you just fall on the ground, you fall over on the bed, and every time it happens, I question to myself, why didn't I buy round furniture?
Yeah.
Because I always catch it like on the corner.
Yep.
Oh.
It's so painful. Anytime I hear my husband yelp, I know that he has stubbed his toe on the corner of the bed.
Do you call up and say, what happened? Even though you know?
Oh, I always, yeah. What happened?
Yeah, and then you go,
bed.
Sorry, honey.
I don't say that. I'm just
you don't
like,
even
no.
You don't commiserate with him.
I mean, like at this point, we should know that bed has been in the same spot for 4 years. Like, come on.
Wow. Yeah. You're gonna definitely stub your toe later.
Oh, I'm sure I will. It's karma.
Karma's coming for you.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What hurts too much for what it is?
So nails on a chalkboard actually do. I think that they probably got rid of chalkboards at school because teachers just couldn't stand it. And so now they have those whiteboards, which are much better.
I forgot about what it sounds like to have like that sound on a chalkboard. Oh, my God. Just thinking about it makes me cringe.
Yeah. I mean, it's unnatural for people to do that. Don't do that. You know what's worse, though?
Mm-hmm.
The feeling in your hand when you're the person dragging your nails on the chalkboard. That's even worse.
Oh, my God. Why does it make you have that reaction?
I don't know. It's so weird. You know what else isn't fun?
What?
Putting a 9-volt battery on your tongue.
Who does that?
You've never done that?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's how you test whether or not it still gets some stuff in it. And it zaps you. Oh, I'm bringing you a 9-volt battery tomorrow.
Oh, no, we need to do that. Yeah. Thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna on Raven. What hurts too much for what it is?
Okay, I know I probably sound like a baby about this, but getting blood drawn, I really just don't like needles. I can't look at it. It hurts all over. And just like I'm sore for days afterwards. It's terrible.
You got to be like me, man. All right? You got to feign braveness, all right, by going in there and telling a lot of jokes. And then just picking a spot at the wall and staring at that when they do that. Some nurses are going to get it first shot. No problem. You will barely even feel it.
Yeah.
All right. Others, though.
Oh,
man. They start probing around.
It's the worst.
And if you're one of those bad vein guys.
Yep.
That's it, man. Now you got problems. All right. I can't help you with that. But I mean, you got to put on a brave face.
You know what goes hand in hand with that?
Mm.
The worst part of both my C-sections, and it sounds so crazy, was the IV. Having the IV in my, like, either the crook of my elbow or in my hand.
They put it in the hand.
Oh,
when
my
it's
gosh,
in the hand.
It hurts.
Oh, the
and every
hand.
Every time you look at it, like, I can't even look at it without, like, cringing and feeling the pain inside.
There's one way it could be worse. I want you to imagine if you were as hairy as I am.
Oh, gosh. A beast. How do they even find it? How do they find it? Do they have to shave you first?
When you take it off.
Oh, they pull the tape off?
Oh,
it's like getting a wax.
40-year-old virgin.
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson!
So many changes with the vaccine. Sometimes it's hard to keep it all straight, what you're supposed to do. Dr. Sarah Nachman from Stony Brook Medicine.
Welcome back, Doc.
We have a lot of questions. I feel like there's been so many changes and different guidelines, and I think I'm confused as to what I'm supposed to do and when am I supposed to do it, I guess is the bigger question. But let's start with the big news of the week. The vaccine had been approved for 5 to 11-year-olds. Can you fill us in on what that means?
So it's not that the vaccine has been approved yet for 5 to 11-year-olds. It's rather that Pfizer has said they've completed the study, the data looks great, and they're submitting it to the FDA. So this is a first big, giant step forward for all of our kids in that age group.
All right, so that means that we don't take them yet. Like, you got to wait for that.
Well, they won't
happen.
Give it to you anyways if you take them right at this moment, right? That's what that sounds like to me.
Absolutely not. Remember that the dose that they're using in the 5 to 12-year-olds is not the same dose that we're using for the 12 and up.
So, doctor, how is it different, right? Is it just less? Is it a weaker strain? How does that really work?
It's a great question because it's important to understand how did they get to this. It's a great vaccine. First of all, it's not a live vaccine. There's nothing at all live in the vaccine, and you can't get COVID from the vaccine. There's nothing in there that's live. The second is kids are just smarter immunologically than adults. They make a great response to the vaccines, and that's true for a lot of things we do in children. They're just smarter, healthier than us adults are. So by knowing that, Pfizer said, hey, do we need to really give them the same dose, or could we, in fact, give them a lower dose? And that's exactly what they did.
So that's good news.
Yeah.
So does that mean now, like, for the little ones, I have an almost 3-year-old, so it's kind of like she's the last one in my family, and I'm just waiting. Are we still far off for the little itty-bitties?
We're not that far off. This first giant step was accomplished because of sites around the country enrolling the kids in such a fast manner. They also enroll the kids even as young as 6 months. They're going to look at it and do the exact same thing. If the results look good, submit to the FDA. It's a little bit downstream a bit, but not a huge amount of time.
Typically, when you submit to the FDA, how long is the turnaround on that?
It really depends on how much information the FDA is looking at. I think they're going to look at this really fast, but they're not going to ignore any scrap of paper. They're going to look at the data from every single kid for every dose that they got, as well as the 2-month follow-up for each of the kids on study. That translates into a lot of tidbits of information. Each one of those has to be looked at. So I think they're going to look at it fast, but they're not going to ignore any of it. If we're going to give a booster, who should we prioritize? And if we're going to give a third shot, and we have to recognize if we have to do it, who are we going to do it in? Let's prioritize the right groups.
Thank you so much. Dr. Sharon Nachman from Stony Brook Medicine. Thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. If you're going to say you're going to eat babies' faces and thighs, that's all I need to know about you.
Wait a minute. Is this like
weird cannibal
fat
stuff?
Bastard from Austin Powers or no?
No.
Give me that baby.
No, I
ate a baby.
I realized the other day that like whenever my friends post pictures of their babies,
yeah.
The first thing I write is, I'm going to eat their thighs. I want to take a giant bite out of their thighs.
You like chubby baby thighs.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
Chubby baby faces.
Or the face. I'm going to eat that baby's cheek. I'm going to eat your baby's cheek. And then I realized I sound insane.
Right.
Who's like, I can't eat your baby.
It's concerning. It's true. If somebody didn't know you.
Right. Don't let me near your baby. Clearly I have a problem.
It is a common thing though, right? Yes. Where people are like, I'm going to eat you up. They just want to get so much of that.
I'm going to thigh in my mouth. Look at that baby thigh.
If you buy one scratch ticket every 3 to 6 months and then get super mad when you don't win the grand prize instantly and get to leave your work and just say, I retired as you run out the door. That's all I need to know about you. Anna, so mad yesterday. So mad.
I know someone that just hit on a scratch off for $30,000.
Which is awesome.
Amazing.
Yep.
So I got a feeling. You know when you get a feeling?
Yes, you got a feeling.
I had a feeling that like, oh my gosh, I'm going to win too.
Right.
So I took $20 out of the bank.
Yes.
And I marched myself down to the store and I bought a $20 scratch off. And I
wasn't. One ticket.
One.
One. One. Ticket.
And I wasn't greedy because some of them say win up to 5 million, win up to 1 million. I picked one that said win up to 200,000 because I figured that was a reasonable amount to expect to win.
Right. Right. A pay off half the house.
Right. And then I got it, and then I scratched it, and I still had the feeling. I'm like, this is it. This is it.
Yeah.
And then I lost, and I'm disappointed, and I'm mad at everybody.
I mean, I go to Vegas, and I get that feeling about 30 times a day.
Oh.
And most days, I don't come out on top. I mean, if I come out on even, I'm feeling really, really, really good.
I'm just saying I was cheated. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying maybe tamper down your expectations might be the way to go, right?
Yeah.
Or play with a little bit more frequency.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
Hey, morning. First of all, I just want to say I love your show. I listen to it every morning now.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate that, man.
I just wanted to say I was listening to the show, All I Need to Know About You. And, you know, if you don't move over to the other lane, to let me merge into traffic. That's really all I got to know about you, you know?
I mean, it seems like a simple concept, right? You go, I go. You go, I go. One after another, one after another, one after another. But sometimes people with merging, they're just like, no, no.
And what do they gain? Like
nothing. One car length.
What? And it's like, it's like you want to play chicken with me? Because I'll play that game all day.
Yeah,
you know?
when my car is taller, I will always just take the angle and I'll just stay on that angle. You know what I mean? Like I set my hands 10 and 2 on the wheel and I just point to the right and I just hold that angle. It's chicken. We'll see who's going to come out on top.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. I went to a wedding a few weeks ago, and I kid you not, the best man's speech was 28 minutes long. 28 minutes.
I mean, that's terrible on so many different levels. I mean, I don't even care if it has good parts at that point. It's a failure. No question about it.
I sent my husband to the bar to get me another drink halfway through.
Well, I mean, thank God the bar was open. A lot of times they close the bar during the toast.
Yeah, no. At one point, the mic died, and he just continued to yell.
You imagine that? The battery gave out. The DJ's just holding his head in shame. I should have switched him, man. I switched him last week. I thought we'd be good for another month.
I felt like everybody was being really quiet during it because he's a narcotics officer, and we just felt like we had like 2 hour party.
I'm not getting arrested here. I'm not getting busted.
That's why I loved it this morning, because there's this video of a 23-year-old. His name is Sam Waldron, and he's reading his best man speech to his brother Jonah. And it's going viral because he has autism, but it is such an emotional roller coaster. And, you know, I used to teach public speaking at the college level.
Sure.
And I love speech writing. And this is the perfect speech. It's the perfect best man speech.
All right. Play me some clips and then tell me why it's so perfect.
Great.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sam Waldron. I am the best man to the best brother that I could have ever asked for.
Ding, ding.
He is my hero. I'm so honored to stand here as your best man, Jonah and Maddie, but I am also terrified.
Suspense.
You see, I have autism. My autism can make me terribly scared to interact with people, let alone give a speech in front of 170 of them, for Pete's sake.
Laughter. Easy going. We got introduction, and you acknowledge who you are. I mean, there's so many things that are right.
Well, you announce who you are, right? You acknowledge the fact that you're honored to have been asked, right? And then you hit the highlights already by talking about your brother who asked you. Let's see if he hits the other ones. Do you have more?
Oh,
because,
I do.
Okay, let me hear some more.
It's perfection. Ready?
First for you, Maddie, welcome to our family.
Ding, ding.
As you already know, our family is like a good fudge, mostly sweet, but with a bunch of nuts. You make all of our family gatherings better. You bring happiness whenever you are around.
You have to acknowledge the bride.
I mean, it's obviously the biggest thing that you should be there to do.
So many best men forget. They think that it's
they
all
hit the
about
best
their
man.
Body.
Right.
Right. And they forget that you have to tell the bride that she's beautiful.
Right.
That she looks gorgeous on
welcome
a wedding
to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Something that she brings to the family. Yes.
Absolutely.
And why you're together. Right.
Jonah, growing up as your little brother, you never looked down on me. You always reminded me that being different is a real strength, not a weakness. You love me just as I am.
I mean, if you listen to
Anna
this
can't
whole
even
thing,
ding ding I anymore because she's going to cry. I'm not crying. You're crying.
You have to be emotional. You have to be vulnerable because people can relate to that. You have to at some point in the speech. You have to make them laugh, but you have to make them feel too.
Is there more?
And this is how he wraps it up.
Yeah.
All these Irish eyes are smiling upon you. To all your days here and after, may they be filled with fun, happiness, and laughter. Cheers.
When you wrap up with an Italian or an Irish, little saying is usually, it is pretty good. It's a good trick there. But he did hit all the things. And if he did it in less than 3 minutes, I mean, he really nailed it on all levels.
I always say the perfect speech is between 3 and 5 minutes. And it sounds like a long time, but when you start rambling, it can go longer than that. This speech was like 4 minutes and 20 seconds. It was perfection. And if you want to hear the whole thing for yourself, you'll smile ear to ear. You can head to our Facebook page at Anna and Raven.
That's a nice way to enjoy the beginning of your day.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Raven is going man camping this weekend, so he's going with a bunch of grown men into the woods, and he thinks he's going to survive. I'm a little concerned about it.
It's going to be awesome.
AJ's my little cousin and a Boy Scout. As a Boy Scout, you actually know how to survive in the woods. I was hoping you could give him some tips on what to do.
So I'm a Boy Scout in Troop 9, and we go camping pretty often, about like every month usually.
Wow.
Really, one of the most important things is to leave no trace. So that means to take out everything that you brought in. Even the things you don't want to take out, take it out.
Yeah, we collect our trash and all that stuff. And there's no way that we're going to leave the generator or the projector screen behind. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to carry all that stuff out.
AJ, when you go camping every month with the Boy Scouts, do you guys bring projector screens and generators like a bunch of wimps that don't know how to actually camp?
No, we have to make our own fires. And then we usually sit by that, have skits and stuff. It's really fun.
Raven also will have skits.
Skits sounds like a good time, actually. Skits sounds awesome.
All right, AJ, what else we got to do?
Another thing is make sure you don't get eaten by a bear. So that means don't feed any of the wildlife. Make sure to lock up all your food that you don't eat over the night. So put it in your car or in like a secure box so that no animals get to it. Because one time at summer camp, one of our scouts decided it would be good to leave a brownie in their tent, and they got woken up by a family of raccoons. So.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
AJ,
I want to bring the Fritos and Doritos into my tent. I got to be honest. Oh.
If you had to fight a family of raccoons,
right,
AJ, what would you do?
I make sure to don't get attacked or rabies, I would guess. Mm.
But how would you fend them off? Would you use any kind of weapon that you made yourself?
Martial arts?
Yeah.
I would probably make sure to make a lot of noise to try and scare them off. Probably don't actually fight it. That would probably not end well.
You know, here's the thing, though. If you get those urban raccoons, right? All right? Those city raccoons, they're tough, Anna.
And
they don't scare
noise.
Easy.
Right.
They don't scare easy. So if I, hey, raccoon, right. Hey!
Yeah.
They're like, what?
I like to imagine. Now, I don't know. I'm relatively certain since, how old are you now, AJ? 14, 15?
14.
So when you go camping, there's no alcohol. But when they go man camping, all Raven talks about is the weird whiskey he's going to drink.
It's terrible whiskey.
Right.
My friend found it one time in the basement of a house that he bought.
What is wrong with you
and
guys?
And ever since then, we've drank from that whiskey.
So you're probably going to leave food out.
It's really bad for you,
I can't wait for you to get attacked by a family of raccoons. All right. So what would be the third tip? Besides, don't drink the whiskey.
Right.
I think the third tip, one of the most important ones, is if it's shiny, don't use it on your hiney. Make sure to bring your own toilet paper and don't use poison ivy. And know all the poisonous plants in the area before you go touch them.
Is poison ivy shiny?
Yeah, it has three leaves and it's shiny. So make sure not to touch it or that will not be fun.
That would be rough.
I'm just picturing it right now in my head. I wish I didn't do that.
I won't sit all next week.
Oh, my gosh. Raven, why are you standing at the microphone? Because it was shiny and I let it touch my hiney.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
We get it. Some weeks are harder than others, and you deserve that margarita. What did you do this week to earn your margarita? So last night, it wasn't even anything different. But I don't know about you, but doesn't everything just seem exhausting lately?
Yeah.
Like you go to work and then you have to go home. And I know for me, it's like you immediately switch from, you know, work mode to mom mode because you got to get the kids to practices and who has dance and who has soccer and who has swimming. And then you're just running from one place to the other. And last night, I was just so tired and it was 5:30 and I just wanted to sit on the couch. But we couldn't because we had things to do.
Mm.
So this was the conversation in the car at 5:30.
All right, where are we off to, Hayden? What's our plan right now?
You're going to drop me off at soccer practice, and then you're going to go drop off Dakota at Nunna's house, and then you're going to go and work out at the gym.
I have to go teach my class at the gym. Are we all tired?
Well, you're tired. I'm tired. I don't think Dakota's tired, though.
Well, she's never tired. She's right. Two. But we're going to survive it, right? Because what's Friday?
TGIF.
No, no, no. What is it for Mommy?
Margarita Friday.
That's right.
Dinosaurs.
Then there's just Dakota.
I love dinosaurs.
Dakota's just in the back and wants to be part of it and doesn't know what to say, so just yells.
I love dinosaurs.
Well, she's pumped up. All right. I mean, you guys clearly are excited, so she's just, you know, telling you what she's excited about.
Oh, we want to know, what did you do this week to earn your margarita so you can enjoy your night? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
My toddler colored our husky puppy with Sharpie.
Oh, my gosh.
Like one Sharpie or multiple Sharpies?
I mean, does it matter? You know, I mean, that's a mess.
Does it come out?
A couple bath washes is going to come out, but I mean, it's going to be there for a few days.
Oh, my gosh. This is like when Dakota, she's my toddler, She took the wax from the candles. She buried her fingers in the wax, and then she put it all over Lila's fur.
Nice.
And the fur turned white. She's a brown dog. I had to cut all the wax off of her fur. I was like, oh my God, it was terrible. Were you able to get out all the Sharpie?
No.
Still working on it. Yep. See you in a week or so.
Yeah. Enjoy that margarita. You earned it.
Thanks.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Okay. So I took my kids apple picking last weekend, and we are covered in poison ivy. So I have earned my margarita.
Oh, my God. Poison ivy is the worst.
Is there anything worse? Right. I told you I had my friend. He was so swollen from poison ivy, they wanted to chop his leg off a few weeks ago.
That's terrible.
You got to go to the hospital. Like, how do you wait till 4 days in and your leg is swelling? How do you survive that?
Because it's poison ivy. You think it's just going to go away. And then it spreads and it gets worse. And then you're buying everything over the counter. And then you try everything that CVS has. And then finally you give up and you call the doctor. And at that point, they have to give you antibiotics. And at that point, you're dead. That's what happens with poison ivy, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
Yeah, you definitely earned your margarita, Mama. Enjoy it. 1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text. What did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Rebecca and Logan. Rebecca, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, you know, we have two sons, and my husband, Logan, he's always like talking about our finances and like mortgage payments and grocery bills and like the kids now, like our youngest son is 10 and they're like worried now. And he's like, it's like our 10-year-old is also like worried about how we're going to pay for things. And he asks questions like that. And I'm like, we got to stop talking about it with them. They're kids.
So let me understand this. Logan, you discuss the family finances in front of the kids, or you're just like roaming the halls, you know, whining about the mortgage or whatever? I want to make sure that I understand.
No, no. So here's the thing, right? I think they should be aware. I think that if we want them, obviously this is the goal anytime you have children, right, is you want to prepare them for stuff. You don't want it to be like, all of a sudden I'm an adult. Why didn't my parents ever tell me any of this stuff? So I literally talk to them about it. I say, yeah, listen, we're doing this. Or sometimes when I'm paying bills, I'll be like, hey, why don't you come over here? Why don't you take a look at this, right? And to be fair, yeah, Kevin is 10. But he does have a better understanding than I think most kids in his grade do. And I think this is good. Yes. Is this anxious? I mean, I'm anxious to pay bills. I think that's normal, but he understands that we got this covered, and I reassure him. This is just preparing him. That's all it is, Rebecca.
Huh.
I mean, financial planning is important, right? I mean, how many times do you hear about people that they have no background in financial planning, Anna, and then, you know, they find themselves in bad situations because they're not used to making those decisions? On the other hand, kids got enough stuff to worry about, so anxiety put on them with finances is kind of tough, but if they have more understanding of it, does it lessen that sometimes? I don't know.
I'm really curious about what people think about this because I've always had a thing with Hayden. She's 12, my daughter. And where I always told her, because she always wants to know, well, how much does this cost? How much do you make? How much does daddy make?
Like, anything that's big, she believes is $100.
Well, like
it's $100 flat.
That's the problem is that I've always said to her, and I've always said, I go, you don't worry about money. Mommy and daddy worry about money. You worry about getting good grades at school. You know, you'll have plenty of time in your life where you have to worry. And that's always been my take on it. But I've realized lately that she doesn't really understand what things cost.
Right.
You know? Like,
everything is $100.
Well, it's like all in theory, you know, like she doesn't really get it. So I don't know if that's the right thing or the wrong thing, but I do think that now is the time for her to start understanding. Huh. I don't know if 10 years old is too young. I don't know.
I mean, she's not that much older. I don't know. Yeah. I am curious myself, too. Let's find out what the audience thinks. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Rebecca believes that her husband, Logan, shares too much information about their finances with their young children, specifically their 10-year-old son, who seems to be internalizing it, and he's stressed about money because he knows exactly how much they make, how much debt they have, their struggles. It's a little too much, she says.
That's a lot of information for a 10-year-old to get. At the same time, you know, if you hear discussions about finances around you as a family, sometimes it's better to give more information than it is less, right? You know, we think that we're sheltering them, but then their minds kids are free to wonder.
I don't know. I think it's a lot of pressure on kids that young to worry about mom and dad's finances. I think they need to worry about school. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Hi, I'm on the mom's side and Anna's side, your side. I think kids should be kids, and there's plenty of time for them to learn those kinds of lessons when they get older. My daughter's 16, and I never exposed her to that, but she now has her own job, and she's learning it as she goes, and I help her out, and she's perfectly fine.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. You know, it's a tough thing because you want to teach your kids everything you can. But when it comes to the finances, is there such a thing as sharing too much with them? Because Rebecca believes it. She thinks that her husband, Logan, shares so much information about their finances with their 10-year-old son that it's giving him anxiety.
Yeah, well, you know, Logan says, you know what? He's got curiosity. I'd rather answer the questions than have him wonder. And for a lot of things, that's usually a better choice. I just don't know, though. It's a lot.
Yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
Hi, I'm on the wife side. Honestly, I think it's a horrible idea that he's teaching his 10-year-old son about, like, not about bills necessarily, but showing how much they have to pay, like, financially. I think that's just adding unnecessary anxiety into a child's life. Like, when we were little, I remember my parents always arguing about bills and things like that. And I feel like now, being an adult, remembering that, I just scared about my finances.
Yeah, I can remember, of course, finances are always a problem in a house, right? And mm-hmm. if your parents are arguing over money, it's the number one problem in all relationships, right? Money comes up. But if you remember that as a kid, and now you explain it to your kids more, I'm not sure that just acting like it doesn't exist is necessarily a better answer, right?
But you have to remember that things weigh on kids differently than they weigh
sure.
on adults.
Hmm.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. Schools these days really don't cover that stuff, so it's nice to have that at home to prepare them for life.
That's true.
Thank you.
A lot of stuff we just leave to, well, they're going to figure it out, right? And they don't get any instruction on that.
10 years old to know about your parents' debt.
Hey.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm kind of on his. When my son was 10, I'm a single parent. I sat him down with my paycheck, and I showed him how much I made. And he was astonished. I said, yay. And I said, and now this is what we pay in bills. And I went through the whole thing. From that time on, he got why there are things that you have to choose as to what you should buy and what you shouldn't buy based on this is what you want to save, this is what you want to spend, and this is what you have to pay.
And it well prepared him.
He's a sophomore in college, and he is paying half his way, and he chose a college that would not give him 40 grand in debt later on.
Right. You know, there's so much power. Thank you for the call. There's so much power in changing the word from debt to obligations, too. Agreements, right? Mm-hmm. They're not debts. You made an agreement for a mortgage. You made an agreement for your rent. It's not a debt. A debt feels like somebody's coming for you. An agreement is, we have an agreement. I'm going to pay this person.
It still seems like a lot of pressure for a child.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Rebecca, our audience agreed with you. If he's having anxiety and he's having issues, he's internalizing things and he's not at the right age where he can understand it. And all you're doing, Logan, is probably making it harder for him.
Logan, I think if you want to talk with your son about financials, you should use more broad strokes. Maybe he just can't grasp the entire thing of it. Even if he can mentally, you know, emotionally, he might not be able to right now. You've already started the financial conversations. That's fine, but reassurance is good. You've got to be relieved, Rebecca.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a balance of, like, informing our sons about, like, how money works and how we're saving or spending. But I just feel like when we tell them too much, it's like making them, like they're a parent as well, and they have to take on our stress. I don't know. I've just been watching a lot of TikTok videos that's like, don't do that.
Right.
I mean, I guess, yeah, I don't want them to have anxiety from it. And if it's going to cause that, maybe I shouldn't be like, you know, this Disney trip cost $2,000. Maybe I shouldn't do that. So I get it. I get it.
Probably not.
Right.
Yeah, probably don't want to put that guilt on them.
Right.
Yeah. On the other hand, it'd be great if you didn't ask for 7 fried doughs in one day.
Yeah.
You know, when each meal costs $30. So there's that. Right.
If you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Jennifer, I have $2,300 on the line. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Absolutely. Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Jen.
Okay.
Thanks.
Raven's walking on out of here. When that big door closes, he can't hear us because we're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you beat him, $2,300. You ready to play?
Now let's do it.
Number one, Cody Rigsby has been getting a mixture of love and hate for appearing on Dancing with the Stars. Because most people are questioning if he's even a big enough a star to appear on the show. What does Cody Rigsby do for a living?
Oh, my God. I don't even know.
Oh.
Dang it.
Number 2.
Dang it.
It's okay. Halloween Kills has dropped its final trailer ahead of its October 15th release. The original mask in Halloween was mirrored to the face of what actor that played Captain Kirk in the Star Trek series?
William Shatner.
Number 3, Nintendo announced that Chris Pratt will voice Mario on the big screen. Actor Charlie Day will voice Luigi. Charlie Day has starred on what FX show since 2005?
Oh, Sunny in Philadelphia.
Number 4, the haunted house that inspired The Conjuring just went up for sale. It has an asking price of $1.2 million and is located in Rhode Island. At what time did the clocks stop in the house, a.k.a. the devil's hour?
Midnight.
Number 5, Banned Books Week starts on Monday. It's a celebration of the freedom to read whatever you'd like. Books that people have tried to ban include 1984, Catcher in the Rye, and The Grapes of Wrath. Who wrote The Grapes of Wrath?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I'm so upset.
That's all right. Jennifer, I made these really hard today, so let me see how Raven does. Let me bring him in.
Yo.
All right, Jennifer got 2 out of 5.
Ooh, Jennifer. $2,300, though. I heard they were hard. Let's see how I do.
Number 1, Cody Rigsby has been getting a mixture of love and hate for appearing on Dancing with the Stars because people are questioning if he's a big enough star to even appear on the show.
Yeah.
What does Cody Rigsby do for a living?
I only know because you got your Peloton delivered this week. He's a Peloton instructor.
Yes. Number 2, Halloween Kills has dropped its final trailer ahead of its October 15th release. The original mask in Halloween was mirrored to the face of what actor that played Captain Kirk in the Star Trek series?
That's easy. William Shatner.
Yes. Number 3, Nintendo announced that Chris Pratt will play Mario on the big screen and actor Charlie Day will voice his brother Luigi.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Day has starred on what FX show since 2005?
I'm not sure.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Number 4, the haunted house that inspired The Conjuring just went up for sale. It has an asking price of $1.2 million and is located in Rhode Island.
I'll take it.
At what time did the clock stop in the house, a.k.a. the devil's hour?
3:07.
I can't believe you know that.
Scary, scary movie.
All right. Number 5, Banned Books Week starts on Monday. It's a celebration of the freedom to read whatever you'd like. Books that people have tried to have banned include 1984, Catcher in the Rye, The Grapes of Wrath. Who wrote The Grapes of Wrath?
Oh, you're so terrible. I don't know. Forest. Forest Farmer.
Forest Farmer.
Farmer Forest?
Yes.
One of those?
No.
One of those?
That's not a real thing. Whatever you're saying is not real.
The Grapes of Wrath? Orwell?
No, it's John Steinbeck.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sorry, Jennifer. He beat you 3-2 this morning. That will get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Jennifer, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. Those were hard questions.
Yeah, another $100 in the jackpot. Monday, you'll have your chance at $2,400. And if we're heading into Banned Books Week, sure seems like there's going to be a lot of book questions next week. There's a hint.
I hate that idea.